To begin this message, I offer you some proverbs from around the world. This first one is a Chinese proverb. Men who run behind car get exhausted. African proverb. Wealth is like hair in the nose. It hurts to be separated, whether from a little or a lot. This is a French proverb. A father is a banker provided by nature. And this from the Spanish, speaking without thinking is like shooting without taking aim. And as you can see, if you were watching the screen, I've chosen to illustrate these various quips with portraits of older citizens from each of those regions. And we're coming this morning to, this is a fourth, this is a final effort in trying to do whatever we can to help close whatever generational gaps too often exist. This is a worldwide problem. This is not an American cultural phenomenon. This is the human condition. You could go in your Bible, you could go back 900 years prior to Jesus, and you would have King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, assuming the throne. You read where he is ignoring wise counsel from some of his older advisors. He goes with what some of his buddies suggest, and he loses the kingdom. We come now immediately to our culture, to our congregation, to our families, and here we have the older generation. We're winding down this series, and some of them might be thinking, man, give us, we got one more shot to try to impart some wisdom. And I hope you see in this picture on the screen, clearly aged hands, older hands, what appears to be some level of a telephone tucked there within the pages, certainly in touch with contemporary technology. But I want you to see how worn the pages of that Bible are. I want to suggest that any of us, I don't care what generational box you checked 3 weeks ago, I would hope that all of us say, I'm going to ground my counsel in the Word of God. And you do find some proverbs in your Bible. They're pretty much right in the center of the Bible. This is chapter 6, Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way of life. So how is that for solid potential? I said how many of us, but I would suggest most of us know one or more friends, family members, and they're just out there struggling. They just can't seem to make sense of the world. There's just so many conflicting voices coming at them. Where is this, where is that potential wisdom grounded in Proverbs 6? God. Divine instruction. Whatever your age. From everything that has been shouted at you, shared with you, suggested to you, how much of what you are hearing is rooted in the Word of God? Proverbs 23, now verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. And so I get it. Some of that stuff doesn't sound like a ton of fun to buy. Like, I can't get Amazon Prime to deliver wisdom and understanding tomorrow. And you're going to say, man, even if I could buy that, to be honest, a four-wheeler sounds like more fun. Buy the truth doesn't mean you have to pay money for it. It's wording for invest. Invest your mental, your emotional, your spiritual resources in pursuing truth. And I don't know what you invested in last week. Where'd you put your efforts? And I'm not trying to say that to make everybody feel badly. Maybe you did really good. Maybe last week was a good investment. I know some people who are investing in memorizing scripture right now. That's a great investment. Maybe you did better with your investments last week than John Elway did a while back. I preface this by saying John Elway has money, okay? I looked up this week. He's said to have about $145 million. Okay, so I tell you the story. Let's just bear in mind he has some money. But what could have been, if you guys remember this, in 1998, Elway was at that point quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And the team owner came to him and said, hey, I'll give you 20% stake in the team for $36 million. And Elway politely declined, and they went their merry way. Well, if you fast forward to last August, some 25 years later, that team sold. The Broncos sold last year for $4.65 billion. And you can do the math of what 20% of that would have been, $930 million. So, and just kind of hold on to that thought. I'm going to leave that, and we'll come back to that in 2 weeks when we're talking about financial things. I'll give you the rest of the story on that one. But for this series, for this current series, and we started with other stuff. We said we got to consider. We started with staying active, physically, spiritually active. We talked about the need to have planning. We've looked at our relationships because we had to. Those are the important things. Those are things that affect everybody as we age. They're the urgent things. They demand focus and time and energy. But if we could, like in a perfect world, if we had all that stuff taken care of, and you were coming over to my house, and you don't have to balance a checkbook for me today, that's taken care of, I'm not asking you to mow the grass, that's all done. If we could just talk about whatever we wanted, we would want to talk about these things. This is Proverbs 23, now verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. This is from the older among us to the younger. Do you hear the wisdom of those proverbs? The first one is this. If your heart is wise, my heart will be glad. You speak what is right, I'm going to rejoice. And the fuller context there of verse, we had 22 earlier. I said, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth. Do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, understanding. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. If you have ever wanted to make your parents, your grandparents, your senior friends from church happy, this is it. This is the best way. Seniors who can hear their family and their friends speaking what is right, they rejoice. When we know our kids are choosing wisely, we're content. And I admit sometimes that we who are older are a little slow on the uptake. even now, I have to remind myself, I don't remember how many years ago, but there was a while back when our two sons were able to successfully navigate themselves around Europe without us being there, right? And they made it back, So now sometimes I look at how I'm going to teach them. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they can get around Central Ohio by themselves, They're big boys, not big, they're older boys, They're older, they make wise choices. I can be thankful for that. In the Gospels, you have Mary hearing what is said about Jesus, listening to his conversation, age 12 in the temple. He's growing. He's maturing. Luke 2:51. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. It's difficult for the aged to express the joy and satisfaction that they feel when they see the younger growing in wisdom and stature. And in favor with God and man. And I put a note here. This is not the goal. Okay. Our being happy or joyful is not the goal. Okay. We're not trying to raise or teach or share or pray solely so we can have glad hearts. I want you to be wise for your own sake because it's best for you. But our hearts being glad is just like one of life's greatest fringe benefits. So if you can gain from us, if you can gain wisdom from our struggles, please do. Probably some of the older will understand this first. I was sitting here minding my business, kind of letting my mind go slack, when in came a nurse with a bright, sunny smile and a gown that was split down the back. "Take a shower," she said, "and get ready, and then jump into this sack." What she was really talking about was that gown with the split down the back. "They're coming to do some tests," she said. "They're going to stretch me out on that rack with nothing twixt me but the cold, cruel world, but that gown that is split down the back. It comes only to the knees in the front. In the sides, there is also a lack. But by far, the greatest shortcoming is that bloomin' split down the back. Whoever designed this garment for humor has a great knack, but I fail to see anything funny about a gown that's split down the back. I hear them coming for me. The wheels go clickety-clack. I'll ride through the halls on a table in a gown with a split down the back. When I get to heaven, it'll make me no odds if my robe is white, red, or black. The only thing I will ask is, please, Lord, give me one with no split down the back. And some of us have watched parents and grandparents and older folks that you love battle mightily with health struggles. You know? And what have you learned from that? Some of us have witnessed the older generation pay the price for financial mismanagement. What will you do differently? You know, some of us have grown up in homes that were not relationally healthy. You know exactly what was said and done, how mom and dad or grandma and grandpa made these huge mistakes. If you can learn from our struggles, our hearts will be happy. If you can garner some wisdom from our successes, we're fine with that too. This story. When 82-year-old Willie Murphy heard the sound of an intruder breaking into her home, she felt bad. Bad for the intruder, that is. Because Murphy was already a critically acclaimed bodybuilder, having won the World Natural Powerlifting Upstate New York Championship in 2018. After calling the police, Murphy used the darkness to lie in wait for the assailant. When the moment was right, she struck with all the strength and agility she could muster. Murphy said, "I picked up a table and went to work on it." After breaking the table, Murphy poured a bottle of shampoo on his face and continued to wail on him with a broom handle. "I think that man was happy to get into the ambulance," she said. I do. There's a 3-minute interview. She's just that animated. And I don't share that because I'm hoping next weekend we can report that the Golden Circle went out and beat up a bunch of burglars. You know, that's not the suggestion. You know, it's just for all the times that you see older people lose. Okay. There are times where we win. You know, if you are seeing mom and dad enjoy the contentment of sound financial management, learn from that, you know. And if you don't know what they did, ask them now. You know, when you can gain wisdom, whether it's relational wisdom, financial wisdom, emotional, ethical, spiritual, most of all, wisdom from us, if you can gain wisdom, our hearts will be glad. The second proverb from the list is, don't let your heart envy sinners. Is it? I think I worded this correctly. Does anybody know anybody who's never been here? Right? Do you know some people who seem like they don't care one bit about God? And they look like they're doing pretty good. It is easy to envy the sinners because of apparent success. And I would ask you to trust those of us who are older when we say that this current crop of culprits, they're not the first creatures who have tried to cheat God. You know? And as Sheldon said, it never ends well. You know? I'm going to read to you from Psalm 73. I'm going to let the scripture speak for itself here. You can follow this well. It's a man named Asaph is the author. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from their burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten opposition. Their mouths lay claim to heaven. Their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. And what happens as that psalm unfolds, Asaph is gaining wisdom. He figured out the long game. He understood what becomes of wickedness. I'm not going to use names. I could. I'm not going to put pictures up on the screen. We could. How many celebrities do you know who have paid the price for ungodly choices? How many athletes should have millions, and they're in fact broke? How many actors can portray beauty and romance on the screen, but their real lives are ugly? That's just the famous people. We can't begin to have time for all the unfamous, not so famous people who have the very same struggle. And I'll say, when you start to get a little bit older, it's a little bit easier to see how the consequences play out. But you don't have to be older to see it. And we remind ourselves, rightly so, you know, even when it looks like people, they get away with it their whole life, God knows, their sin will find them out, there will be a final judgment. All that's true. I'm just saying, you know, the longer I live, the more examples I've seen where people who ignore or defy God, they really don't even make it the 7, 8, 9 decades we have on this planet before their sin disappoints them. In contrast, I would give you Psalm 37:25. When I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Don't envy the wicked. Watch the righteous. And the last one's from verse 18. There is a future hope for you. All of us who stick with righteousness, there's always hope. And this is for the older among us. We have to live that way, especially in the later years. We have to live like we believe it. There's always hope. So for all the grumpy, cranky, crotchety old timers, you know, that just seem like all they do is grouse and gripe and complain. If you want to stop by my office, I will give you a different list. Okay? I will give you contact information for for some of the older folks I know, some they're in this room. You know, they are the beautiful souls who will find the blessings in the frustrations. They're the people that you'll see holding hands, even when sometimes the arthritis hurts. There's always hope for the godly. And we, as vessels, as we leak. That's we leak. We know it. We all, you come in like Sunday morning, you get all filled up with God and the good and the grace, and then the work week hits and it just drains out. I'm convinced the devil was running around with a cordless drill, just drilling holes in people's lives. You know, it's probably a red one. You know. And he's just waiting for the joy to just run out. So please hear me when I remind there is a future hope for you. This is Romans 5:3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. I know you can read it. You do realize there's suffering right there in the middle. Yeah, I see it. You know, your little Bible chain reaction starts with suffering. I get it. You know, we're not standing here saying the present's always painless. We're saying in the future there's always hope. Even suffering can be used. We want you to see the hope. This is Ephesians 1:18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is not one thing going on in this whole wicked world right now that God can't handle. And I hope that you see that in us. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you got cut from the team. There's still future hope. Maybe that certain guy or girl said no. There's still future hope. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you didn't, your bid didn't win on the house that would have been perfect for your family. There's still future hope for all of us. Titus 3, verse 7. So that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. I hope you see the hope in us. Those of us who have maybe fewer hairs on our head, more age spots on our hands. We've been where you are. God is able. Keep trying. Keep believing. Keep hoping through the storms, and I don't know, maybe you already had this in history or geography or whatever class we would have learned this. In the Middle Ages, the sea route to India seemed like an impossibility. So it was often discussed in the great economic and political centers of Europe, and they were wondering, will there ever be a route around the bottom tip of Africa that will lead us to these rich spices? So as many had tried and all had failed, and the southern tip of Africa became known as the Cape of Storms. And then this explorer, Vasco da Gama, decided he's going to try again. And he succeeded. And ever since he sailed back to Lisbon, it could never be doubted again that it could be done. He proved to us that the treacherous way wasn't inevitably disastrous. And the Cape of Storms eventually became known as the Cape of Good Hope. So my suggestion to you is to change the map. Modern society has become very good at telling us it's wrong. You can't win. We're at odds. It can't be done. Life is nothing more than a cape of storms. Let's change the map. We will be the spiritual Vasco da Gamas who say, with Jesus help me, I'll find a way. There is a future hope for you. There is a future hope for me. There is a future hope for all of us. How are we going to be confident? Jesus promised. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come back to take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. And while we're on that, you want to talk about changing the map? Before they buried Jesus there, and I don't know where, you know, whatever the garden or the cemetery, wherever the Joseph's tomb was, before they buried Jesus there, that was nothing but a place of death. But by the time those ladies ran that Sunday morning, they were sending the disciples back to find a place of hope. And that's the kind of disciples we want to be. And it doesn't matter whether you are male or female, older or younger, whatever generation, doesn't matter. Let's change the map from storms to hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just grateful for opportunities that you give us to be together, to interact. We would pray for listening ears, for understanding and patience and discernment and just all those things that are hard. We would pray that we would appreciate the generations that are on the other end of the spectrum. Pray that we would see how and when and where we personally can make an effort to close that gap. Father, we are grateful that in all things our hope is in you. Help us to be able to see the righteous, to understand the reality of wickedness. Heavenly Father, thank you for those around us who choose wisely. May we be encouraged by their efforts and their stance, no matter what our relationship. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for promising us your hope. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.